Hello, everybody. This is Hal, and thank you to everybody who's been listening to We Got This with Mark and Hal. Especially want to welcome all of our new listeners due to the Maximum Fun Network. Mark and I are so excited to be part of this amazing network. And if you stay tuned at the end of the podcast, you'll hear some ads for some of the other great shows that are on Maximum Fun. And I encourage you to go to MaximumFun.org and check all of those out. But if you are a new listener of We Got This and you're enjoying the show, please take a second to go to iTunes and rate and review us. It really does help us find new listeners, and we'd really appreciate it. A couple of other things. Two live recordings coming up of We Got This. One will be at Dragon Con, which is Labor Day weekend in Atlanta, Georgia. If you're going to be at Dragon Con, stay tuned to We Got This tweets on Twitter for updates about our upcoming performance at Dragon Con. We've also got a performance coming up in New York as part of New York Comic Con Super Week. More details are coming on that soon, but that will be the second weekend of October. So all that stuff is coming up soon. And without any further ado, on with the show. Hello, I'm Hal Lublin.
And I'm Mark Gagliardi.
Since the dawn of humanity, one issue has gone unsettled. With the fate of the world in the balance, we're here to settle once and for all. What's the best Pixar film?
That's right. Don't worry, everyone. We got this.
Podcasts should have a theme song.
Podcasts should not have a theme song.
Yes, they should.
No, they shouldn't.
They sound good.
Yeah, but people are just going to skip past it.
You know what?
You're right. We got this.
Hello to everyone, and thank you guys for coming.
Yes.
This is our first time we've ever done We Got This in front of an audience.
Yes.
And, I am so short. This thing is right up in my grill.
You're sitting at a table with a desktop stand.
And I'm still too short behind a desk. I'm behind a mic stand that's less than a foot tall, and it's still too big for me. I'm going to switch.
Can I do that? Sure.
Oh, that's so much
nicer.
This
is America. You can do whatever you want.
Amen to that. Freedom ain't free.
Yes.
Should we bring out our special guest?
We should bring out our special guest. You may know her from ABC's Castle. We know her as Pemily Stalwark from the Sparks of Otta and the Thrilly Adventure Hour. She is Molly Quinn.
Molly, why do you have your purse? Are you going somewhere? Can you not be here long?
Are you already ready to leave?
Where do you want to sit? Who do you like better?
I was supposed to sit in the middle, but
Oh, here, sit in the middle.
Okay, I'm going to sit in the middle.
We were actually going to put you in the middle. We were both going to call you and see which one of us you gravitated towards.
And then we're going to get a bunch of people to go out on the sides, and we're going to go full Last Supper portrait on this.
I need one.
Mark, give that lady a mic. You'll hit the Beatles at a press conference.
Take this one that's too big and weird for me to use.
Great. Molly, how are you?
I'm doing really well. Thank you guys for coming and listening to our personal opinions.
No, these are facts.
Oh, yeah.
Everything right. Listen. If you've been listening to this by now, stop arguing with us on social media. When we issue an opinion, it's the correct opinion. We stand by it forever. This is worse now because there are people who disagree with us who are in the audience.
Many of the people that you are talking to via the airwaves, you could put your microphone out of your face and just talk to them directly. They are feet away.
I hear you. I'm hoping the mic didn't pick that up because I need to sound tough for my rep.
How have you ever sounded tough?
Never. No, you know what? That's not true.
Did not sound tough.
I had a boss one time who accused me of going on a company trip for myself, like for personal reasons, which I had not because I had receipts and notes and everything. And I was like the Grinch's heart. Like I grew like five sizes and was wanted to punch the guy. I kind of wanted to punch him because he would not relent. And
so you're telling me the toughest thing you ever did was want to punch a guy.
Yeah, not about punching someone.
But that was enough because he backed down. He knew. He saw the fire in my eyes.
He saw some peacocking from Hal Lublin. Molly, what's the toughest thing you've ever done?
Oh, I probably shouldn't say.
You're from Texas. Is it like I choked a cow to death?
No, I have never done that.
Is that a thing? Like, when did cow tipping get so extreme? It's like, you guys going cow tipping? Screw you. We're going to go choke cows to death.
Cow choking.
Well, one night, two people tipped a cow, and one of them was ready to walk away, and the other one said, no, let's finish this. And that's how it started. It's terrible. I don't endorse it. I'm just saying it happens. We should be aware of the world that we're living in.
That's horrible. No, I'm just from a rough place, and I grew up with brothers, so my whole life was tough. I was constantly, trying to one-up everyone, especially with my bigger brothers who are giant. I could usually only get them right before they woke up for school and things. So I did a lot of evil, like, wake up! Like, jump on them and pound on them.
You were an alarm clock jerk sister.
Yes. Yeah. Right. Weren't we all?
All of us were.
Look, speaking about how tough all of us are, let's talk Disney movies.
Sure.
Pixar.
So our topic today specifically is Pixar films. Who suggested this? Who did we get this topic suggested from?
I wanted to talk about this, and here's why. And I'm heartbroken because I recently saw Inside Out, which I loved.
That's the Kevin Kline gay teacher movie, right?
That's correct. And but we're disqualifying that movie, number one, because Mark hasn't seen it, and number two, because it's possible some people who are here live and some people who may be listening to it haven't seen it yet. So spoiler rules dictate that we're going to allow a six-month window before we discuss that film as part of the Pixar canon. So that is off the table.
Mm-hmm.
Great.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Molly, you make us look bad by having extensive notes in front of you. Did you want to just start on your note list and
Molly
we'll poke
has
holes
two,
in it?
Two pages of notes, and not only are they two pages of notes, but they're the most well-organized notes I've ever seen. The handwriting is impeccable. It's like a craft project.
Usually when we're doing this, the prep that we have in front of us is a phone with a Wikipedia page opened on it. That's where we're like, yeah, because that was in 1948. Let me pull out my phone that's got my Wikipedia list of Pixar movies on it.
Do that. No, well, I wanted to be prepared because, I mean, before this, I thought you guys were really smart and knowledgeable about all things. Apparently, you really haven't done your
Wikipedia
homework.
Is.
The
okay,
podcast is working.
Yeah. Very much so.
Molly, are you a big Pixar fan? The Pixar films have existed for the vast majority of your lifetime. So you grew up with Pixar, as opposed to Mark and I, where the first Pixar film was 95. I was 18.
Yes, y'all are both older than me.
You are our guest here, Molly.
Yeah.
Oh, right.
This is our house. Take your shoes off.
Got it.
Yeah, so Pixar was already a thing by the time you were cognizant of...
Sure.
Going to see movies. Like, Toy Story
Toy Story. I'm sorry. I thought it came out in 93.
No, it's 1995.
95? Okay. Oh, that's right. Because my mother actually told me she took me to it when I was two. And she was like, this will be great. It's a kid's movie. And then when Sid comes out, like, in all those creepy toys, apparently I just made, like, the hugest ruckus, was absolutely terrified. And my mom was like, this was supposed to be a kid's movie.
Well, I mean, it is still a kid's movie.
But it's scary. Like,
you have to know that there are villains out there.
I rewatched the Pixar movies that I didn't remember as well. Mm. And Toy Story 1 was one of those. And I was even kind of scared this time. I watched it and I was like, this is kind of terrifying. And also, it looks like that little girl is like abused. Sid's little sister looks like there's been like stuff going on. I got really deep into this movie. I'm sorry.
Wow.
Guys.
You know, there are.
She's like not abused physically, but maybe there's some like verbal abuse going on in the home.
There are so many theories about the world of the Pixar films and how they all connect to one another because in each film, there are Easter eggs that are, that refer to the other films. Never in all the reading I've done, and there's been a fair amount, have I read that the younger sister, that Andy's younger sister was abused?
Not Andy, Sid.
Sid's younger sister.
Yeah, oh, that family
Andy's.
Is.
Yeah, that family
that
is a
latchkey nightmare.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Yeah, thank you.
Look, if
I don't
you
know
have,
where the tracks are, but they're on the wrong side of them.
That was my mistake.
That's
why
family. Andy's moving. That's why Andy's mom is like, we can't live here.
Yeah, we can't live on the wrong side of the tracks.
The neighborhood has gone to SHIT. We got to move.
Do you think Sid grew up to become a cop?
No.
Sometimes that's what happens with bullies. Not that all cops are bullies, but like I find that there are some bullies that grow up to become cops. Or
sure,
I got
that
pulled over once and the cop gave me a wedgie.
And a wet willy at the same time.
Okay.
And a wet willy.
Really?
I should probably call social services, right?
Yeah, that's not okay.
Why, do you need to be taken out of your home?
Line.
Yeah. You guys, I don't know how municipal things work, clearly.
I'm so sorry.
Your local government. Find out about it at government.org.
Or organization.gov.
So why don't we try to go in chronological order?
Okay.
So we have the original Toy Story.
Let's talk about, are we just saying the list now, or are we going to dive in?
Let's take them one by one. Well, all right. I'll tell you what, let's do... Are there any that we can eliminate right off of the top?
Yeah, Cars 2.
We can eliminate Cars 2, which I have not seen, but I'm aware is a James Bond send-up.
Yeah.
In which Lightning McQueen becomes a secret agent.
Yes.
And somehow Mater is still involved.
Yeah.
Yes.
Because the tow truck from America is going to go to the big Euro thing.
What's wrong with that? Like, what? I don't think that that's enough of an argument. I thought it was a really fun movie.
No, it's a fun
colorful?
Movie. It's a fun movie. It's colorful, but our job here is to pick the definitive best Pixar film.
Okay, fine. We can take out Cars 2.
And Mark, are you saying people from the South can't travel outside of the country?
That's really what I was trying to say.
No, there's no need for it. There's no need for a southwestern tow truck to be
Tokyo drifting.
To be Tokyo drifting, yes. Has that always been a verb, or did you just make it a verb?
Tokyo drifting?
Yeah. I like it. Is there
a
hyphen in that?
It makes sense. Yeah. It's two words. Oh, is drifting? Or
not
you mean
drift
Tokyo?
Hyphen-ing.
No.
Like Tokyo,
no, it's Tokyo
hyphen
it's
drifting.
It's actually a space. It's just Tokyo space drifting. Like you're drifting.
It sounds like that would be
Tokyo.
The phrase in the middle of a Yosemite Sam rant. Like,
Tokyo drifting. Mark, you're an improviser. Surely you could have come up with words for the rest of that Yosemite Sam rant.
Nope. I'm also doing a podcast and just did a physical bit.
We're breaking the walls of podcasting and the rules of it as well.
Can we go ahead and rule out Cars?
I love the movie Cars.
I do too. I like it a lot. I think it's underrated in that too many people think it's overrated.
Yeah.
Like it's too beloved by children for whatever reason, but that comes from John Lasseter's love of the car culture that he grew up with in Northern California, and it reflects that, and it does like the Radiator Springs Racers at Disneyland.
An
California
excellent
adventure.
Ride.
It's an excellent ride.
Actually, you watch it, you go, hey, you know what? Cars is actually a pretty good movie.
Yeah.
You don't go, boy, that was a dumb movie, but at least I have this ride.
No,
you remember sort of what's beautiful about that, although it feels like a stock kind of story it's been
and,
told.
Well, all of the Pixar films have that. They all have their beauty to them. They all have their canon of characters that they've created. None of these are bad movies.
No.
I feel it's less like we're eliminating things.
Except for Wall-E.
What?
Whoa!
Molly Quinn with the bombshell!
Wall-E is the... I am no fan of Wall-E.
Why are you no fan of Wall-E?
What?
You don't like adorable things?
It's not adorable. Like
it's adorable.
It paints a picture of the future that I don't want to live in. I don't want to watch that movie, especially in animation format.
So do you like Blade Runner?
Well, yeah.
I hate Blade Runner. I hate it so much. I hate it like three times hated.
I feel like we're equally hated by our crowd now.
That
right?
Good.
We're split.
Handshake.
Okay.
We shook hands.
We're good.
I love everything that everybody here loves.
Don't clap, Sean. I mean, they made a roach cute, so I guess that's some kind of achievement.
You really? Wall-E was going to be in my, like, that was going to be near the top of my list.
It would
I think
be near
it
the
is,
top of mine, too.
I think Wall-E's an excellent movie. I think the love story in that between Puppy Short Circuit and that Apple Store lady is with the whole hand thing that they do what's the old movie that's playing? Is it Meet Me in St. Louis?
Hello, Dolly.
Hello, Dolly. Thank you.
Okay,
it's a beautiful.
Well.
But look, let's start this theme early, which is me crying while I watch Pixar films.
Yeah.
When I saw Wall-E, in the first 2 minutes, I was tearing up, not sobbing, but tearing up because I thought it was so beautiful. Like everything they do has an incredible amount of detail in it,
mm-hmm.
but that in particular. It's a planet full of garbage, and they made it a beautiful thing to look at.
And a thing, it was an entirely visual first 45 minutes of that movie. You're grinning like we're trying to sell you on this movie. We're not going to sell you on
no.
it, but we got to give it its due time. The thing I love about Wall-E is that first 45 minutes of no talking.
Yes.
That it's, and that plays so beautifully to, I think it sets up hey, this is a global thing. This is not an English-speaking world story. This is a global story.
It does lose points because everything looks really very realistic except for the people. Not that the morbidly obese part, but just like they look like Tex Avery cartoons that were turned into computer animations.
Yeah,
sure.
Like it kind of loses. And you have a live-action president.
Yeah.
Yeah, you do, and that's weird. And
it's a combination of humans and...
Yeah.
And I'm not a huge fan. Eve is the female robot, right?
Yes.
Yes.
I didn't really like her. I thought Wall-E could do better.
Well, did you go in to get one of those Japanese sex bots?
She's all flying around and acting like she's so great. She's like, Wall-E, I love you so much. But I feel like she's just so flighty. And Wall-E
she's,
is
of
so,
course
like,
she's flighty.
Genuine.
She's flying.
Yeah.
No, that's... Not,
would you rather?
I should use a different word than flighty, but I'm not sure what that word would be.
Would you rather he hang out with like Cherry 2000 or something like that?
I would
that?
Rather him just hang out with his little cockroach buddy
all
terrible. The time.
Hey, you know what? I I don't think you should be in a romantic relationship. Instead, you should hang out with this cockroach all the time.
Nobody dates.
That's what just I want for you.
Yeah. And that's the world I would like to watch and be in.
Okay, so let's take Wally off the table.
Can I, since we're taking Wally off the
table, rest in peace, Wally.
Let me ask you a side question based on what you just said. Of any of these worlds, which of these worlds would you most like to live in?
Oh, well, that's not Brave.
Brave?
Yeah.
What, because you're redheaded? Well,
yeah. No, not because of the redhead thing, just because it looks amazing. But even, I mean, are we going to talk about Brave now? Because as much as I love the movie Brave, I think it's a little polarizing. It's very much a female-geared movie. Like, I know that guys like it, and that's great, but I can't say it's the best one because it's a little, you know, it's a very strong girl power story about mother and daughter relationship, which, like I said, is awesome, but it's not super well-rounded. But that is the world I would want to live in. All that Celtic, you know, drama and, like, myth is really intriguing to me. And, you know, she's climbing rocks and on her horse. It's great. I love that movie so much. And the little brothers that turn into bears, that's, like, the cutest thing, I think, in a Pixar movie, actually. Those brothers are my favorite.
I will say that that Brave loses points for the aftermath, what the good people at Disney did with Merida after the movie came out. And they princessed her up and added her to their collection of princesses. They made her dress nicer. They fixed her hair differently. And they put her with the rest of the Disney princesses.
She still had her cute round face.
That's the thing she didn't want. The thing that she wanted the least would be to go out hang out with those girls.
Okay. Well, hold on. The other Disney princesses aren't bad. I mean, you have Pocahontas. Cinderella is fantastic. And then who else we got?
Look, we're not saying anything. Right? We're not saying anything bad about the Disney princesses.
No, the Disney princesses are a lovely group of people.
However,
I feel like Merida and Pocahontas would be best friends.
Sure. But this is about...
That's another episode.
Another episode. Which princesses would be best friends?
That age-old debate.
We are doing a Disney princess episode, I bet, one of these days, right?
Yes.
But that's what I was going to say. If like the whole doll thing, and I agree, like it wasn't great, but I wasn't that upset about it. And I tried to think about it from Merida's perspective. If Merida was real, and they're like, we're going to make a doll out of you, I would be like, hey, how about you make her waist a little smaller than mine? I'd be totally fine with that. You know, like, make her just a little bit more pretty than I actually am, if you're going to sell me in doll form. I mean, what's wrong with that?
If you're going to sell me in doll form, I want to be made of brown leather with white laces and football-shaped, and I just want to be a football.
Okay.
So
we can take Brave off the table.
Okay. Take Brave off the table.
Yeah, I'm fine with that.
These are I feel like a lot of this, not to, it may be a little disingenuous, like, well, we're going to take this off the table. There's really like three or four that are going to be on the top. These are all honorable mentions at this point.
All right. Can we get rid of Ratatouille?
No.
Yes, we can.
I love Ratatouille.
Here's why. I'm going to tell you why. This is going to change your life and your mind. Ratatouille is two different movies. Ratatouille is the story of a mouse who can talk to other mice and a story about people who can talk to other people. And then those worlds interact, but not really. I would have rather have stayed just in the mouse world for that. I would rather have just stayed with the rats, the talking, cooking rats, and watching his journey. Let the humans just be puppets. I don't even remember his name, Marcel.
Dude, I realize that you've spent a, that,
well, the rat
which
is Remy,
pasta,
right?
It's kind of weird. Yeah, Remy and Linguini are best friends.
Yeah, I get that it's about our relationship with food and the emotions that it can evoke in us, but I want to see more talking rats. And they did not have enough.
You've been hanging out with those mouse guard guys too long.
Or go watch what is that? Secrets of NIMH.
Secret of NIMH.
Yeah, you got a lot of talking rats in there.
I want to see the Pixar version.
The Guardian Angels, thank you for your service.
More than the love of cooking and what food can do for us, what I really like about that movie is it's about passion. That's what I think is wonderful. And you're taking someone who isn't very good at something and realizing that teamwork is really important. Like, through teamwork, they can do this thing together, and it will be great for both of them. And I think that's a really important thing with friendship. In fact, the one thing I probably could live without in that movie is his little romance with the other chef. I felt like that gets it a little
cluttered. That's what I just said. Absolutely.
No, but I like all the other human stuff.
Yeah, it's okay.
It's great.
It's okay. I do like the fact that the rats clean themselves before they cook at the end.
Well, that's all Remy's idea.
That's all I can think about. I don't think one pass to that dishwasher is going to do the trick. Those rats
they're
are
rats.
Like,
they are bubonic plague infested rats.
That's the Library of Congress of diseases walking around on four claws.
Making Ratatouille.
Listen.
Yeah.
I will agree to take Ratatouille off the table. if only for it being the second best Rats in a Kitchen movie. The first being The Muppets Take Manhattan.
Sure.
With the beep 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 bam bam bam, where the ones like skating around on butter on yep. the flat top,
and they never wash themselves, so you know that a ton of people are dying after eating meals at that diner.
I'm pretty sure that Rizzo the rat has more chlamydia than a koala.
Oh,
what is that? Are koalas known bears?
Yes, koalas all have chlamydia. Wow. They're stoned all the time, and they all have chlamydia.
So they're the Warren Beattys of the animal kingdom.
When we were just in Australia, we were all three of us were just in Australia
together.
And Juliana
complained that you wouldn't let her hold a koala.
Yes. Juliana was like, oh, I wanted to go hold a koala, and Marks didn't want to go. So, and I'm like, no, I don't want to go. I'm not going to.
It was more that you would not let her hold a koala.
Well, look.
You were like very adamant that your girlfriend would not hold this koala.
Look, if she gets chlamydia, we're not going to go down that rabbit hole. Oh, for God's sake.
All of this is to say that Ratatouille is off the table now.
Okay, so we've taken Ratatouille off the table with a quick detour into chlamydia. What else is on your notepad there?
A Bug's Life.
Like two claps.
There's at least three.
But this wasn't even really a clap. This was just like, I'm kind of praying my hands together to give...
That's sort of like planning when you do that with your hands.
Yeah, this isn't clapping. This is sinister. Oh, just you wait.
I like Bug's Life. I think it's forgotten as a film. It's basically the Seven Samurai as told with bugs.
Right.
And they do a really good job of miniaturizing the world. There's still Bug's Land at California Adventure, which is not the basis of a good film, whether or not there's attraction based on it. But it's still, I think it holds up. It's got a great cast.
It does. It has a great cast. It came out the same summer as Ants, I believe. Which
Ants didn't stand a chance.
Right around the same day, 1998.
No chance.
I did like the cast in Ants because I will watch any movie that is Woody Allen and Sylvester Stallone teamed up as best friends. You're like, what? Whose idea was like? I got a great idea, you guys. Woody Allen and Rocky, best friends.
Great. Here's $100 million.
Yeah.
But this isn't about Ants. This is about A Bug's Life.
Well, our reaction to A Bug's Life, I think it's good. I don't think it's going to win number one because all three of us, when you're like Bug's Life, all three of us went, all right.
It's in my top.
It's in my top
five.
Like nine.
It's in my top five. I actually love that movie. And I think that, what's the evil cricket's name? Hopper?
Jiminy.
Hopper.
Wrong.
Played by Kevin Spacey.
Is terrifying.
Yeah.
And then you have that one deranged cricket, like the one that has rabies or something that they take around with them to like scare all the children.
the fearsome koala like, cricket.
And he's like, come here, little girl. I'm going to hold you right here till the mommy aunt gives me everything I want. Like, it was terrifying. And I really like my Pixar movies to be terrifying.
Yeah. You're a villain fan.
I'm a villain fan. Yeah. And who did you say? Was it Kevin Spacey?
Yes.
Yeah, and that might be part of it, too. I'm a huge...
I kind of wish he had done his accent from House of Cards as that grasshopper. Flick.
You don't know.
You work for us now, Flick.
I've never flown into an ant colony before, but here's the thing. When you do it, you got to do it all the way.
Some people don't have what it takes.
Yeah, as he's cracking a beetle's neck at the very beginning of the film. We all remember it.
The little
he's cracking
pet.
The neck of
it's
Wally's
little,
roach.
No, it's the aphid pet.
The aphid pet.
Yeah, the queen bee has a little aphid pet that's like, it barks like a dog, but it's an aphid.
Listen, if we're not going to ding Disney on animals not doing things exactly the way that animal does them.
I just thought that was weird. I was like, why didn't they give the aphid its own little sound? Like,
It barks like a dog, and the ants walk like people.
Yeah, well, don't ants...
No, they do not, Molly.
You're wrong. You're right. My brother did tell me that ants tasted like sugar when I was little and got me to eat quite a few ants one summer afternoon. And I was like, these don't taste like sugar. They don't taste like anything. And then my dad came outside and was like, what are you doing?
I'm just picturing you with like ants just crawling all over your mouth like, what? My brother said they tasted sweet.
I don't know how many of these it's going to take, but I'm going to get there.
I'm going to do it. I'm going to taste a sugar ant, damn it.
I'm going to eat these until they're good.
We've all done that with something, right?
No.
Eating it until it's cute? Until it tastes. I think I was peeking over your nose.
This is a Stanford prison experiment? No. If I don't like something, I don't eat more of it.
All right. What other movies do we have on the list?
Okay. Monsters. Monsters, Inc.
Monsters, Inc. Great. A lot of support from the crowd here.
Got someone who's like, I could live without it.
Oh, believe me. As soon as this... Are you guys going to wait to tweet arguments at us until this airs or just immediately? Is it happening right now?
Probably. I don't know.
It's happening right now? Okay.
The whole table is shaking.
Yeah.
Because all our phones are constantly vibrating with feedback.
Hold on. Rob Desmond. How dare you? What?
Yeah.
Yeah, we have to be careful about that, too. Yeah. I like a lot of the people that made these movies. I'm like, oh, gosh, I don't want to say
look,
anything.
Look, we've said they're all excellent, excellent movies. Pixar's not putting out a
covered.
Bad movie.
Yeah.
Okay.
I love Monsters, Inc. I may love Monsters University a little bit more.
I have not seen Monsters
but
University.
Here's the thing.
It's a great origin story, and I like that. And I'm sorry, I'm going to spoil this for you because people have seen this movie.
Yeah,
had
6 months.
Years at this
it's
point.
Been a while. I love that Sully is a jerk.
Yeah,
like he starts off as such a jerk in college, and I thought that was brilliant. I was like, yeah, he doesn't just have to be a nice guy. Like it gave him real texture. I liked that a lot.
And I would say that you can't really enjoy Monsters University as much without having seen Monsters, Inc.
That's
kind
of cool.
And this is maybe one of the few times I'll make a comparison like this. It's like The Godfather 2. If you've never seen The Godfather 2 will be a mess that makes no sense. If you've seen The Godfather 2 is possibly a better film.
Yeah.
Debatably a better film.
Yeah.
But definitely a masterwork on par with the first film.
Absolutely.
And I would put these in the same. I think Monsters University is a really, really good movie. I love...
Just as good as The Godfather 1 and 2.
Just as good as... Look, if you've seen Godfather 2, you're going to love Monsters University. Otherwise, it's not going to make any sense.
Do they do that thing where they do the Godfather legacy where they mishmatch and put the thing back together? Have you ever seen it when they do that?
Yes.
They'll take The Godfather 2 and Godfather and rearrange them chronologically.
Yeah, so it starts with Robert De Niro.
Exactly.
In Italy.
Let's do that with Monsters, Inc. and Monsters University.
All you have to do is watch Monsters University and then watch Monsters, Inc.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
No. I mean, we're going to put The Godfathers in there.
Oh, great.
Oh,
yeah.
Cool. And also,
Sully, listen.
I love all the voice casting in both. And I might be a little biased with Monsters University because Nathan did the voice of Johnny Worthington, right? Captain Mal, Nathan Fillion, did a voice.
Oh, right.
He has his own little plush toy. I have one. Anyway, I just like all the voice casting and... It's really fun, yeah.
Yeah, they're very well cast films, but probably neither of them would be up the top. I would definitely say Monsters, Inc. would be... Monsters, Inc., if I'm looking at them objectively, would probably go a little higher on the totem pole than Monsters University would.
We are running out of movies. We eventually have to have...
That's all right. We're running out of time soon, too, at some point.
We have 30 seconds.
Okay. What else do we have? Oh, Finding Nemo.
Finding Nemo is a great movie.
I love Finding Nemo.
It's so sad. It's so sad. The whole thing is sad to me. Those first few minutes when like the mom fish dies, it's like that's great. And then the one little egg is left. Like that whole thing and the whole father son relationship is so wonderful. And then that son is a bit of a jerk and goes off and doesn't appreciate his dad and learns to appreciate family. And then Dory, it's just
the relationship. You mentioned the mother daughter relationship. Mm-hmm. In Brave, the father-son relationship in Finding Nemo is another one of those. Disney or Pixar does a great job with familial relationships and understanding struggles that people have safety versus experience.
Sure, and I think what kind of puts Nemo ahead of Brave for me is that by introducing Dory, you have, in a way, a mom figure. Like, you kind of get this positive female role model, and it starts to kind of piece together this family, which does happen for people.
Mm-hmm.
And so it had everything for me, is what I'm saying.
Okay.
So I really like Finding Nemo.
I'd say we put it aside as a contender.
We'll put it up for contention.
Okay. What about Up?
It's
the saddest Pixar.
If you want to talk about crying during movies.
Yeah.
Holy moly, that opening 20 minutes of Up.
The Explorer?
Yeah.
Oof. Yeah.
Come on.
I saw that movie in 3D and my glasses were soaked with tears to the point where I had to wipe them off four or five times before I could watch the movie. And honestly, I didn't I didn't shake what happened to me in the first 20 minutes, so I don't even have a very strong memory of everything that happens afterwards. I have general flashes of what happened in that film, and that's why I would take it off. Just because
after the first 20 minutes are too brutal.
I will say this is whenever
I agree.
My argument against Titanic is that the first 20 minutes of Up does in 20 minutes what Titanic cannot do in 3.5 hours.
I wrote that
really?
Right here. I did. I said, no debate. Love story breaks my heart more than Titanic. I wrote that on my notes.
You also wrote, do you like Cheerios? Check this box if yes. Was that note meant for somebody else?
Did you draw a box that says maybe?
This doesn't happen.
It's a drawing
this
of a dog.
Not on here.
And
there's not. That's not on my list.
Could be.
She just wrote MQ plus HL like 40 times. I don't know what that means.
Now's the time to tell you how.
It's happened.
I love
it. Oh, is that the big announcement?
Yeah, that's the big announcement.
That's the big announcement we're making.
Yeah, so do we need to talk more about Up?
No, but I will say this about Up. No, but I will.
Okay.
One last thing about Up. I remember after I saw that movie thinking to myself, because my dumb actor brain will frequently do this, I'm like, wow, if I ever need to be really sad for a scene, I'll just have to tell the director I need 20 minutes in an Up DVD and I will be right back to set.
Yeah. And another great relationship between the old man and, what's that little boy's name? Russell. Thank you. Another great relationship. One of my favorite scenes, really, probably in any Pixar movie, and because I did just recently rewatch Up, is when they're sitting around the fire and Russell's talking about his dad, and he's like, "What's the? Oh God, it's like Louise or something. It's like, Louise says I bother him and I shouldn't call him anymore." And the old man goes, "You call your mother by her first name?" And he goes, "Phyllis." That's what he's like. "Phyllis isn't my mom." And it's this great moment of just another different type of relationship that kids go through. And it's so wonderfully complicated and clear at the same time.
It's a good movie.
It's a great movie.
It is a good movie.
I
keep saying Disney, Pixar. What Pixar does really well is, it got me thinking about the button that he puts.
The
great button on his sash. Mm-hmm. Pixar does a great job
badge.
With, yes.
Yeah.
Does a great job with props. And using props to forward a story. I mean, mm-hmm. arguably, Toy Story is props the movie. it's all about endowing, you know, the imaginative endowing. Can we move on to the Toy Story movies?
We have
we have Incredibles.
The Incredibles.
I would discount it.
How can we forget the Incredibles?
Oh, there's an adamant Incredibles.
Okay. The Incredibles is fantastic. It's the visual design on that film is like this 60s, 50s sort of modern look, which I love personally, but also great voice cast.
Who's it? Craig T. Nelson is...
Craig T. Nelson, Holly Hunter.
Yeah.
Samuel L. Jackson.
Yeah.
Jason Lee is in that film as well. It's fantastic.
The casts of these Pixar movies all sound like the casts of Robert Altman films. Like, they're just these weird all-stars that you would never piece together.
Yeah, but they all work.
But they all work.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
It's Robert Downey Jr. and Lauren Hutton and...
Oh, you're making up a cast.
Yeah, making up
a
cast.
Okay, I was like, what
and,
is this?
And Dr. Teeth and Eric Clapton.
Did you mean Dr. T?
No, Dr. Teeth of the Electric Mayhem.
Oh.
You heard of him?
No, yeah. I do not. But
plays
that's
the keys.
Okay.
What?
That's you
a different episode.
Me.
Oh, we are going to school you some Muppets, Molly Quinn.
The Incredibles is a great movie.
It's not Toy Story.
Yeah. There are three Toy Story films. Bless you.
Sorry,
and I think all three of them probably would be ahead of The Incredibles.
Yeah.
The third one is my personal favorite. Toy Story 3 with all those characters. And it doesn't get messy. It all makes sense. You follow the through line. But it introduces just how many characters can be in a movie. It was incredible.
Yeah, I feel like the Toy Story movies in my brain are the gold, silver, and bronze. I'm not sure in what order. Though I do love Up so much. But let's talk about Toy Story before we make any final decisions.
Okay, I'm going to take out Toy Story 2 because there's a Sarah McLachlan dog commercial in the middle of it.
Yeah. When somebody which is, loved me.
Can I tell you? The
so depressing.
My favorite thing about that movie is When Somebody Loved Me. The super sad music video in the middle.
And yes.
She was happy. So was I.
Oh, come on. And she's playing with the Jesse. And then she tosses the Jesse aside. For God's sake, you have no soul, Hal.
No, you know why? No, it's very sad, but it feels like the most obvious, like, I'm going to make you cry now. I want you to feel bad, and now you have to understand who Jessie is and why you should care about her. It just, it's great, but it's too much.
When my mom
by far, Pixar. You are on notice.
When my mom would get mad at me, I would start singing that song, and it always turned her around. It was a great tool.
You're a real manipulative daughter.
Yeah.
I would just start singing it very softly like I did to you guys.
Did anybody else?
Somebody love me. Okay, fine. You can go.
Did anybody else just get an image of her singing that while the house is burning down behind her? I can't stay mad at you. We're going to live in our car now.
So let's talk Toy Story 1 and Toy Story 3 then.
Yeah.
Toy Story 3 is, I think, one of the best sequels of all time. The best third chapter of a trilogy, maybe ever.
Sure.
And might be the victor of these three movies, of the Toy Story movies.
I have to agree. I mean, that last scene when they're all in the furnace and they just look, they accept death and they like hold hands. It's like, oh my God.
Yeah.
That was when I cried during that
moment. Oscar is the worthy. Most intense.
It's an Oscar worthy, like.
It's an Oscar winning moment.
I know, but that's what makes it great. Like, it was worthy of the Oscar that it won.
Also,
it won multiple Oscars.
The little girl whose room Woody winds up in, who eventually winds up in possession of all the toys.
Yeah.
The other toy, Jeff Garlick, we like to keep it loose and improvisational around here. It's such a great other world, to explore.
Absolutely.
I have to agree with you. Did we just decide that Toy Story 3 is the greatest Pixar film?
Well, and we all agree,
We all agreed on that. I feel like this episode is really stressing you out, Hal. For those listening, all of these have labels on them. This label from this water bottle, he has turned one of these labels into blue sand.
Yeah.
Like, just sitting here and fiddling with this, like, oh, no, you didn't like this movie? No. Sure, you like Sarah McLachlan? Great. All right.
You know,
let's sing the song.
I just wanted this to turn out right. And folks, if you're listening at home and all other Pixar films, you're on notice. You're all looking up at a golden standard of what a Pixar film should be, which is a golden standard for what any film should be, which is Toy Story 3. You've heard it here today.
That's right.
We settled
official,
it once and for all.
Once and for all settled.
Hey.
And no one booed, so they all kind of agree with us.
Hey, the internet.
Good.
Guess
finally.
What?
Yeah.
You can send all the tweets you want. You can argue on Facebook all you want. Send us all the emails you want. You're wrong. You burnt. Toy Story 3. Mic drop.
Don't you come at us with no Cars 2.
So that is our show live. We want to thank BAMFest for hosting us for this show.
Absolutely. This is such a fun festival.
We want to thank Jesse Thorne and the entire Maximum Fun family.
Indeed.
Absolutely.
For welcoming us into their fold. We want to thank Molly Quinn.
Molly
our
Quinn,
very
our special guest.
And our great friend. Molly, where can people find you online? What do you have to plug?
Oh, online? I'm only on Twitter. It's MollyQuinn93.
That's right.
And we have
93, that's the year that Toy Story came out, right?
I really thought it was. I don't know why. I was wrong, okay?
That's all we needed to hear.
Thank you,
Molly Quinn.
That's right. You have topics, and we want to hear them. So tell us the things you want us to settle for you. We got this tweets on Twitter.
Or you can find us on Facebook. We got this. I don't know how any of this works.
I can't wait. I just
you
wanted to see if you get
say,
it right.
Here's
I
the
just
thing.
Wanted to see if you get
here's
it right.
Here's the thing. The only one that I know
can
for
I
sure
now?
Is we got this tweets. So when you took that one, you're like, you do the Twitter one and then I'll take the next one. I'm like, I don't know what the next one is.
That was a trial by fire and you are a pile of ashes right now. Facebook.com/WeGotThisPodcast
or on Twitter at WeGotThisTweets.
Or on Twitter at WeGotThisTweets.
Hey, if you guys like using Twitter, we're on it at MollyQuinn93.
And you can email us at WeGotThisPodcast@gmail.com. Thank you to Mike Foreman for our wonderful theme song and Jonathan Dinerstein, who does the underscoring, that brilliant music that you hear underneath us at the beginning of every episode.
And thanks to Ken Plume, who is who is taking pictures of us right now.
Yes.
Thanks to Ken Plume, who edits our show and does all the technical elements for it. And we'll have a great time sometime this week editing bicycle noises out of this podcast.
For Mark Gagliardi, I'm Hal Lublin.
For Hal Lublin, I am Mark Gagliardi. And don't worry, everyone. We got this.
We got this.
MaximumFun.org.
Comedy and culture.
Artist owned.
Listener supported.
Hello, buddies. I'm Travis McElroy.
And I'm Andy Bolt.
And we're the host of Bunker Buddies.
We're a podcast where we're amateur survivalists, and we talk about things like the apocalypse.
And we talk about zombies and preparedness.
What are you going to wear when it's the apocalypse?
And you have no idea if you don't listen to our show. It comes out every Wednesdays on MaximumFun.org and on iTunes. Sometimes we try weird foods, or we talk about where to camp, or how to avoid getting eaten, or any of these things.
Yeah, so listen to us, because it might just save your life.
We'll see you in the bunker.
Bye!
Hi, everybody. I'm Justin McElroy.
And I'm Dr. Sydney McElroy.
Every Tuesday, we bring you Sawbones, a marital tour of misguided medicine, a show about all the dumb, weird, terrible ways that we've tried to fix each other over the years. You know, some light summer listening.
Maybe you want to hear about yogurt enemas, or why we tried to eat mummies for a while, or why drinking cholera diarrhea sounded like a good idea.
That and so much more is waiting for you every Tuesday right here on the Maximum Fun Network with Sawbones, a marital tour of misguided medicine.